For the last number of Sundays, we have been letting Jesus do the preaching. And not all the things that Jesus says have we found easy to hear any more than those to whom he first spoke these words. In fact, Jesus gave his words not to make all of his people feel better. He gave his words to make them better, to make them the image of God, to make them the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so again, we hear Jesus preach in his great Sermon on the Mount, according to the Gospel of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And I'll be reading from verse 1 through 6. Listen to the words of Jesus. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me check the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and then tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord. Not long ago, here in California, there was an elderly lady who was shopping. And she went to the store and did her buying and coming out with her bag. She went to her car where she saw four young men climbing into it. Well, she put her bags down and she pulled out of her purse a small gun she always carried with her. And she jumped around in front of her car, and she aimed a pistol at these guys. She said, get out of my car, she said, I'll blow your brains, and I know how to use this, and don't think I won't. Well, the car doors flew open. The guys jumped out and went in all directions of the compass. As they retreated, she then put her gun back into her purse. She went back, picked up her packages, and put them into the car. And she climbed into the driver's seat. She was thinking to herself, I should go to the police. I should tell them what these guys tried to do. The only problem was her key didn't fit the ignition. And as she looked around the car, she discovered there were things there that didn't belong to her. And then when she looked further, her noticed a car looked exactly like the one she was in, which is about two spaces down. So she took her bags, she put them into her car, and she thought, well, I ought to go to the police and confess. So she did. She drove her car to the police station. And she went in and she began to describe to the sergeant who was there what had happened. And he started laughing. And he pointed down the counter, and he pointed at four young men who were there in shock, trying to describe this lady that had tried to carjack them. Well, nobody got into serious trouble. She was let go. True story. Have you ever had a time when you misinterpreted something and you realized later on you had made a fool of yourself? The fact is, that's where most rumors start. That's where some of the most embarrassing experiences and situations take place. It's like the woman in the parking lot. Many of us have a tendency to assume the worst about other people. We know that we know the right And obviously, they don't agree. If they don't agree, well, they're wrong. Now, Jesus taught his disciples how to avoid judging or accusing others falsely. And he began this part of his sermon with these words: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Now, Jesus, the word judge is a very interesting word. The Greek word is krino. But it means to kind of sort, to shift, to separate into different things that are in common. Katokrino is to judge, but it's to judge down, to judge as unworthy, as worse than possibly you. But as we look at these words of Jesus, it's important that we not only hear what Jesus is saying, it's also important that we hear what he's not saying. Jesus is not saying, "Do not judge," period. There is no period there. There's a nice comma there. "Do not judge, or you will be judged." He's not saying, if you don't ever judge, you will not be ever judged. Well, that would be nice, but the fact of the matter is, you and I have been judged, and we are being judged, and we will be judged, and judging is a part of our human experience. Jesus is not saying, do not judge. In fact, there are three reasons why he's not saying that. The first is because our world, the world we live in, requires judging, sifting, sorting. You judged this morning by getting out of bed, and what time you were going to get out of bed, and what you were going to have for breakfast, and how you were going to get to church, and when you were going to get, you had to judge, well, I'm going to the first service or I'm going to the second service. All of us have already been judging from the moment we got out of bed, maybe even before then, to this moment. It's not just decisions on what to do. It's also decisions on what to say, decisions about what to think. In fact, can you imagine a world without judging? Can you imagine that any car can drive down the streets of Bakersfield as fast as they want to, and they can drive down whichever side of the road they want to, and they can stop or not stop at every traffic light that they come to? That would be a very dangerous Bakersfield. No judging allowed. Or can you imagine going to the grocery store and getting, say, a bottle of milk, and then deciding, judging how much you're going to pay for that bottle of milk? Let me think, 25 cents? And the clerk is saying, well, I'm judging you because that bottle of milk is costing you $2. A judging is already taking place. For some, a world of no judging is an ideal world. Sort of the New Age. John Lennon wrote a song about it. Imagine there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no religion, there's no rules. And of course, the assumption is that all people are going to do what's right according to all people. And the fact of the matter is, they may do what's right in their mind, but not necessarily good for anybody else. Oh, but I like it. It's good for me. And so we have judging, that we might live in a world that's not hell. But also Jesus is giving us a warning. He says that, Jesus says, well, I judge. Jesus is a judge. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that God is a judge. Remember, he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged the Egyptians who were holding these Hebrew slaves. Judge the Hebrews when they got out in the wilderness and they started to think about going back to Egypt. God is a judge. Jesus is a judge. Remember, Jesus judged the woman who came and washed his feet and wiped it with her hair. Well, the others around were judging her for wasting money and not worthy of touching Jesus. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? Well, judging has been a part of Jesus' ministry. Not judging. These are, it says, oh God, in his judging gives us the Ten Commandments. And these are not the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Ways of Doing Things. These are the Ten Commandments. And God says, if you obey these commandments, I will judge you righteous. And if you don't do these things, I will also judge you. And these commandments are meant to make your life filled and full. But Scripture also reminds us that God is a righteous judge, not an arbitrary judge. He doesn't take bribes. He doesn't follow some political agenda. He's a righteous judge. The psalmist says, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness, and the world will rejoice. Why is it rejoicing? Because God is judging. He's judging in righteousness and in truth. And the New Testament picks that up too. The Apostle Paul writes, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead in view of his appearing and his kingdom. Jesus tells stories, and you've heard many of them, the parables they're called. And Jesus talks about a master who has servants, and he trusts those servants, and he gives them his treasure to invest. And then he comes back. Well, to the servant who has been trustworthy. The story that Jesus tells says, the master then says to that servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a judgment. And to the one who did not, throw the worthless servant out into the darkness. Do you remember, Jesus judged his own disciples. And you remember Peter? It's to Peter that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Oh, because Peter had just said, oh, Lord, let's not go out into the world. Let's stay up here in the top of this mountain where we can be separated and feel righteous and holy. Get thee behind me, Satan, says Jesus to Peter. And Jesus instructs his followers, you and me, to be judges. Right after the commandment that we read here this morning, right at the end, that last part, you may have scratched your head and said, that's kind of weird. Jesus asks us to discern dogs and pigs from those who would value that which is valuable. And at the end of this chapter, we're told that we can and must discern false from true. Yeah, we're told, you be a judge. So judging is what we are instructed to do, what God does, what the world requires. Judging is not something we need and can separate ourselves from. So what is Jesus saying if he's not saying, don't judge? He's saying, be careful how you judge. You will judge, and that's a good thing, but be careful how you judge. And so he gives us warnings in the text, the part of his sermon we just read. And Jesus asks, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and then all the time there is a plank in your own eye? What is that plank? That plank is judging out of our pride. Now, sometimes we think that if I judge this other person down, that lifts me up. And I am now more important than they are. Because, you see, I have just judged them as lesser than me. And Jesus' warning says, be careful. Be careful how you judge. Because if you judge down katakrino, well then that's, you become a participant in gossip and bigotry and prejudice and rumors. You see, it's the judging down. The katakrino is the genesis, the source of all the things we would be judged about. But second of all, Jesus says, this is a warning. Be careful how you judge, that you don't judge out of ignorance. At the turn of the 20th century, there was a scientist that studied the stars by the name of Sir Percival Lowell. And one of his favorite stars or planets that he focused on was Mars. He had a very large telescope in Arizona. And he wrote great volumes on what he had discovered. In 1877, he read about an Italian astrology that had discovered channels and canals on Mars. So he was determined to map those out. And Sir Percival Lowell did just that. And in mapping out these channels and canals, he came to the conclusion that there were Martians, there were humanoids on Mars that were actually digging these canals, and probably more intelligent, since we on Earth couldn't possibly have created such a massive canals on Earth. These were hugely important discoveries he was making, and the world was amazed to read his great scientific stories and books. Well, we know different today. I mean, we've had spaceships go around Mars and take pictures of its surface. In fact, we've had some land on Mars. No canals. No straight ditches. In spite of what Sir Percival had discovered. And so you might ask, well, how was it he came up with these channels on Mars? How did that happen? Well, it could be one of two reasons. One, because he really wanted to find them, having heard this Italian scientist say they were there, and so he was going to find them whether they were there or not. Or some have said it was a result of a disease, a rare eye disease, that caused his blood vessels in his eye to bulge and actually look like straight lines at whatever you were looking at. And that it could be that he was simply tracing the blood vessels in his eyeball onto Mars. And in fact, that condition has come to be known as Lowell's syndrome. Is it not possible that Jesus is talking about, when he talks about taking the log out of your eye, he's talking about clarifying your vision so that you're not seeing your own malady, but you're actually seeing what is really there in the other person or in the situation that you're involved in? Jesus says, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And he warns of specks in our eyes. But I think the greatest evil in judging can be that we presume to take the place of God. That we are wise and discerning and very, very insightful in telling others or telling others about others what we see. And what Jesus is doing is he's warning us that we have this tendency, we have this problem that causes us to see what sometimes is not there, that we need to be humble. There was a relatively young lady whose funeral I officiated at in Salt Lake City when I was the pastor there. And after the funeral, She came up to me with tears just streaming down her face. And she said, "Oh, my father," she said, I'll never see him again. And I said, and I tried to empathize because I had just lost my father. And so I could empathize with her grief. And I tried to explain to her that God has a place for us in his kingdom. "No," she said, "I'll never see my father because he didn't know Jesus Christ. And so he will not be in heaven." And I said to her, "Be careful. First, because you don't know all about your father and his relationship with Jesus Christ. You only know what you see or saw. But second of all, because you don't know everything about God and about God's grace, about God's love, about God's forgiveness. We need to be humble," says Jesus, "because there's danger in our judging that Jesus is warning us about. There's danger in our pride, in our ignorance, in our presumption about God." And then Jesus gives us a strange little story. "Do not," according to Jesus, "do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls before swine." That's probably the sign, the phrase you probably remember. "If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." In other words, not only will your advice be ignored, but you will be resented for it. So Jesus is saying, be careful who, when, and how you'd give your advice or your counsel or your judging. If you're giving advice, Jesus says, no matter how brilliant, how relevant it may be, if the person to whom you're giving it is not open to receiving it, you've not only wasted your time and theirs, but you have also encouraged them to respond in a negative way. Dr. Charlie Shedd, a Presbyterian pastor from Houston, who he's with the Lord now, was a counselor, a conference speaker, an author of numerous books about being parents, about being married. And he and his wife Martha held a conference early in their marriage, which they entitled, "How to Raise Children." Well, then they had children. And he had another conference that he and Martha held shortly thereafter, and he entitled it, "Suggestions on Raising Children." I guess it went fairly well. And then Charlie and Martha's children became teenagers, and they held another conference. And they called it "Feeble Hints from Fellow Strugglers." Now, you may be able to identify with that, but the reality is you discover the plank in your own eye the more you reflect on who you are with God in Jesus Christ. Walter Lippmann once said, "It requires wisdom to understand wisdom. Music is nothing if the audience is deaf." Or I would put it this way, if you have wisdom to give, find a wise person to give it to. But how are we to get the planks out of our own eyes? I guess that's the final problem. And Jesus explains to us, first, recognize who you are. You're not God. You don't know everything. You're not the wisest person in the room. You don't know this person as completely as God does. Don't try to take God's place. Be humble. But second of all, when you discover pride, that plank in your own eye, repent. That's how you get rid of it. Accept the fact that we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We do use others from time to time to lift ourselves up, and sometimes we're a lot more eager to explain to the person what's wrong with them than they are to hear it. And when we recognize that, then in fact we are maybe more careful as to how we judge others. But third of all, receive God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love. Now, we are judged by God, as the Bible says, in righteousness, in truth. And when the world discovers that, what does it do? It rejoices. It celebrates, as we do every Sunday morning. It thanks God for being our judge. So we are to judge ourselves and one another the way God judges us. Jesus said, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, you'll be used to you. So if we really understand it and have experienced God's love and forgiveness, if we really experience that, then that is what we give to one another. Forgive us our debts, what? As we forgive one another. Oh, and what if I don't? Jesus answers that question in this text. But finally, Jesus is not saying, do not judge your brother. He's saying, actually, because judging may be the very best thing that could happen when done as God judges. I have, on this Father's Day, I have to tell a grandchild story. By the way, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I think I mentioned that already. I have a little granddaughter. When she was a toddler, she's not little anymore, but when she was a toddler, she and I spent a lot of time together. We had this symbiotic relationship, and we'd go to the park, and she would play in the sandbox. And one day, she was in the sandbox, and an ice cream truck came by, you know, with the tinkly music going on, and I stopped the truck, and I bought her the biggest ice cream cone they had. And I turned around to give it to her, and she had stuffed her mouth with sand. It was all over her face. Now, did I love her any less because she had sand in her mouth? Oh, no. Well, did I love her any less because she wasn't ready for my ice cream? Was I going to give her the ice cream with the sand in her mouth? No. What did I do? I picked her up, took her to the fountain, washed her mouth out, and gave her the ice cream cone. That's how God is our judge. Does he love us any less for our sin? No. But he wants to clean us up so that we can experience all the grace and the love that he so generously wants to give us. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Let me give, in closing, three suggestions, three filters. You will be judging, but I suggest you use these filters. First, is it true? Have you done your homework? Second, is it helpful? Are they going to be able to hear you? Are they going to be able to understand that what you're saying is out of love? And third, is it kind? And if you're not sure, then it's probably better left unsaid. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are our judge. Thank you for being our judge. For we know that you judge only in righteousness and in truth. And we ask, O Lord, as your children, that we may be models of you, that we may be salt of the earth, light of the world. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the left his grace upon you now and forevermore. Amen.